Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I don't give a mother duck.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, that's python.
It's Sterney's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Only a Kansas City boy would mistake python for ostrich.
What is that, an ostrich? I didn't even think of it.
And ostrich boots may be the most noticeable, like the easiest to tell. I don't think there's any skin that looks like it.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Like, yeah. I mean, I guess there's some snake and some gator and some different scaled animals that you could make a mistake on what it is, but that old ostrich.
Yeah, I can see how you confuse snake and gator boots. Ostrich? What?
That is absolutely.
How they doing it in Kansas City, man?
I don't know. I think it's just Ron. I think they actually know their boots in Kansas City. I think Ron just doesn't. We're going to get him in a pair of them boots for you for too long. That's for damn sure. But right now, I want to circle back to some of what D'Amico had to say. I think there's two things that really stuck out to me moving forward with this football team. And I think the first is, how do they handle Smith and Jigba? You talk about a high volume receiver that is a big part of, forget the catches and the production, just the targets, if you will, of in that offense. He is a big part of it. There's others that obviously play roles, but Smith and Jigba is the one that I think you got to really focus on, and how the Texans actually decide to defend, however they want to do it. They've got multiple ways now with the ability with Stingley and Lassiter and company. They've got multiple ways, but how they defend Smith and Jigba, I think, is going to be a big part of whether the Texans can win or not. I think it starts with Seattle's defensive line, as we've discussed at length over the last few days. But offensively, if you can limit Smith and Jigba's production, then you got a real chance of slowing this offense down. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about what their plan is with Smith and Jigba being such a big part of their offense.
Yeah, whoever we play is about us playing our defense, right? They have great players on their offense. Like, we got to be able to account for everyone. So we'll play our defense the right way. Everybody be on the same page, communicate well, go make plays on the football when the ball is up in the air.
I ain't buying it.
Well, I, to be fair, I don't know if he's selling you much there.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah, no.
I mean, he didn't say a whole lot. You could tell he's trying not to tip his hand, if
that's
you will.
Right. That's right.
You can kind of tell that.
Well, I think, you know, I heard the guys on In the Loop talking about this on my way in earlier. I think this is a big topic here moving forward before we get to this game Monday, is how the Texans decide to defend Smith and Jigba. I think this is why you go get Derek Stingley Jr. You draft him in what, number three overall?
Number three overall.
And that is why you keep Derek Stingley Jr. happy. You keep him in house. You pay him the money, because games like this, And I don't know if Smith and Jigba coming into this season was a guy that you look at and you go, yeah, man, Derek Stingley may need to shadow this guy and just man him up across the field. But he's damn sure arrived and become that guy this season.
Well, it's a revelation.
Yeah.
Right? It is one of the things I would even go further and say you did not know that, right? Like they get rid of DK Metcalf and they do that betting on Jackson Smith and Jigba being able to be the linchpin of their passing attack, right? Yeah. Like that was a bet on Schneider or a bet by Schneider that Jackson Smith and Jigba could step up into that role. And sure enough, he has done that. And so now that you know that he's not just a pigeonhole slot guy or somebody who's a slot guy who can do some things outside but really is – no, this is a game breaker, a playmaker, somebody who can basically threaten you on all three levels, right? Yeah. There's not really a route that he can't run or a ball that he can't catch. And so given that, now that you know that much about Jackson Smith and Jigba, now you know – that he's the type of guy that Derek Stingley should be following. Kind of to your point, you didn't necessarily know that going into the season. If you had tried to pick this game, once the schedule came out, you would have said, oh, there's no need for Derek Stingley Jr. to have to follow him around or whoever you feel most confident in the slot. Maybe that guy can handle it. Maybe if he's a special slot guy, maybe you put Kamari Lassiter in that role to specifically address him. No, man. Jackson Smith and Jigba is somebody that can do it on the outside, the inside, the intermediate route, the deep ball. He can be deaf by a thousand cuts, or it can be the one play 61-yard drive that he had against the Jacksonville Jaguars over the weekend where it did not take them long to score. It took them one play to get him the ball and for him to impact the game. So to me, this is a no-brainer. It is a Derek Stingley follow Jackson Smith and Jigba. It is the reason why, again, you draft somebody like that, number three overall, the way Nick Caserio talked about him being like the surest thing that you could find in that draft in terms of how he projected, and sure enough, he's been that, and the reason why you give him $90 million. What is the point of having a $90 million cornerback if you cannot rely on him to follow the best pass catching weapon that the opposing team has? So it is a day or a night for Derek Stingley Jr. to step up.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's going to be a question that's going to be heavily discussed moving forward. Is what, you know, what, how do they approach? How do the Texans approach on Monday night, limiting him as much as they possibly can? And I think this is what Derek Stingley is literally. This is where he makes his money.
Yeah.
You know, I think normally in just a normal situation where you keep him to the left and keep Kamari Lassiter to the right and you just play football, I think that's beautiful when you can do that. If the other team has several receivers or kind of balls evenly distributed or however you see it. But when one team is so dependent on one player right now, I mean, he's got 20 more catches than Cooper Kupp does.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So he is clearly a volume guy, and – if you take him out of the game, you really force them to win left-handed. And so not only that, I think Derek Stingley Jr. being able to mirror or shadow, however you want to couch it, Smith and Jigba, I think it makes everybody else's job in stopping the run and having good eye discipline and all those kind of things. I think it makes everybody around him's job easier.
Well, and not just that, I feel like not every team has this luxury. Not every team has a shutdown corner that they can use to follow a Jackson Smith and Jigba. What I mean by that is for a lot of other teams, the solution to guarding Jackson Smith and Jigba might be to double team him. And so take advantage of the fact that you don't have to be that team. You know, oh, am I going to have to cover him with a corner and a safety? Am I going to have to double him? And then now Cooper Kupp is running wild or whoever else it is that they might lean on. And so you have the luxury of having a shutdown corner. At least you've paid him to be that, to go out there and use him.
Here's the other thing that I think stood out. Talking about what D'Amico Ryans, we had D'Amico Ryans press conference, played it in full last segment. Smith and Jigba, how are they going to handle him, I think, is one. The other thing that stuck out here, I think offensively, look, I've said it multiple times, I'm concerned about the targets beyond, the weapons beyond Nico Collins. And what could shift that real quick, and I think this is a week that we're going to find out. We're going to find out about Nick Kaley. We're going to find out about C.J. Stroud. We're going to find out about this offensive line. But there's also a receiver out there, Xavier Hutchinson, that I'll be honest with you, I've probably not given the respect that he deserves, given how many plays we've seen him make in big moments.
Yeah.
I just don't see the twitch, the explosiveness, the ability to separate is going to be a problem. And I think I'm talking about for the receiving core as a whole outside of Nico Collins. But the one guy that I see some level of promise from that I believe that it's fair and to expect him to potentially take that step and be able to be a factor in a game like this, I think it's Hutch. I think the young guys, their time's going to come. But right now they're young. Their head's spinning. You know, hell, Jalen Knowles returning punts and playing wide receiver, and Higgins is more of an outside guy anyway. And so I think Xavier Hutchinson got some experience. He's shown the ability to create a little separation in critical moments. He's the one to me that, boy, that if he could separate and be the number two, because, look, I know Christian Kirk is on paper number two, but Christian Kirk, there's either a father time or a hamstring issue.
Yeah.
And he may very well come out of that funk and after a bye week and be that guy. I may be wrong. But the one I want to focus on is Hutch. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about Xavier Hutchinson and how he's seen him develop this year.
Hutch has done a great job. It was all offseason, just watching him, watching the way he worked, especially in training camp, watching him make play after play in training camp. You know, he just proved and he showed that confidence in camp, and he showed that he was deserving of more opportunities, and he's the same guy he's always been. He's just did a really nice job of just continuing to develop and evolve as a player, and that's what you expect from young players. You expect to see the growth, and Hutch is definitely representing what it looks like to be a pro growing in your, you know, year three. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, your thoughts on Hutch. You think he's got it? You think he's got it in the time? I know it's obviously would be the time to step up and make a big difference, but does he have enough juice to make it happen?
So I got a similar concern about Hutch and his ability to separate that you do, but I cannot take away the progress that he's made,
sure,
right?
Yeah,
like
it's real.
Just where he was when he started, when he got here a few years ago, to where he is now, it feels like night and day. Not even just night and day, but just like this steady progression. All I've really seen from him is him get better,
yeah,
right? And so I've got to take that into account. And then another thing, and again, not wanting to take away from the work that he's put in and what he does offer them, what he offers the offense as an individual player, but I keep going back to Nick Caley, right? Like the only guy that's truly special out of all of these weapons, if we're just being real about it, is Nico Collins.
Yep.
And so there is a part of this or a role that Nick Caley plays in this in finding ways to scheme these guys open. And then to Hutch's credit, being where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, being a reliable route runner and a reliable pass catcher, right? So your feet and your hands being exactly where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. He's been that as of late, and that's somebody who I do feel like they can rely on to at least be that, even if he's not that elite separator, which I think we can agree on. He's not going to necessarily be that, but in the – and I'm not saying he's Jerry Rice, but like in the Jerry Rice school of, hey, run the right route and catch the damn ball.
Yeah.
Right? Can you at least do that? I'm not saying be Jerry Rice, but along those lines,
yeah.
Hey, you're not necessarily the elite physical talent, but can you be reliable and can you be where you are or can you be where I am expecting you to be on a given route?
Look, there's a lot of guys out there that, especially if we're talking about to a number two standard, you know, a counterpunch standard, there's a lot of guys out there that didn't have 4-3 speed to separate. There's a lot of guys out there that didn't have the twitch of Tyreek Hill to separate. But they were great route runners. They were nuanced in their route running with their sticks and their head nods and things of that nature, and they could create separation. It's possible. We've seen guys. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have made a hell of careers out of it.
That's what I think this guy is, right? I think he can be one of those guys, as you illustrated.
Yeah, to me, that's what could emerge here, and we've seen glimpses. I feel like at the very least he's a guy that you know, with some injuries or whatever, you put him in there and let him play four quarters, he's going to go make some plays for you. I think the next step for me, where I'm going with it, B. Scott, is very simple. Is on third down, if they're going to roll a corner up on Nico, roll a safety over the top, and at the snap burst a linebacker out there, there's just not a whole lot you can do unless your offensive coordinator is going to move him within the formation, right? So when that happens – and it's going to happen. They're not going to be able to move Nico every snap, even if they wanted to. They don't do a whole lot of it anyway, but even if they wanted to, right? So that's going to happen. Can he be a guy that can win right now?
Yeah.
Right? We hope Christian Kirk would be that guy, and he may very well be, but I think the one that could surprise folks is Xavier Hutchinson. Because, again, it seems like it's that time in his career where there's more playing and not thinking. He knows who he is. He's not trying to be something he's not. I think he's got great chemistry with C.J. Stroud. Can you create that little bit of a window in critical situations throughout a game on third down or fourth down or in the red zone to be somebody that can make enough plays opposite Nico Collins to make this thing make sense? We'll see.
And if there's an area to attack, on the Seattle Seahawks defense, right? Like, the strength of it is up front.
Yeah.
If there is a weakness, and they do a pretty good job in coverage as well, but their secondary has been banged up. And if there is a weakness in the defense, it would be that. So it's not like, I say that to say, it's not like he is trying to separate against your most elite coverage guys, right? If he's going to be able to do exactly what you're talking about, he should be able to do it against this Seattle Seahawks secondary.
He's got to win now because his pass rush is so damn good.
At
the end of the day, he's got to win now. We don't have time to get through progressions. We don't have time to wait for guys to get 10 or 15 yards down the field to separate. He's got to win now. All right, that's B. Scott. I'm Clint Sterner. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings up in New Caney, 59 and 99. Come on through and hang out with us. We got a Texas Star Grill Shop gift card we got to give away still. And we're going to do that here in that 5 o'clock hour. So come on through. Get your name in that raffle box. Get you a cold beer. Get you something to eat. And enjoy your thirsty Thursday. All right, there's a lot of hype around the Rockets right now, y'all. Is their season dependent on two guys? In fact, two guys not named Kevin Durant, two guys that are actually have been reserves to this point in their career. B. Scott will explain. We will cuss and discuss next right here on Sports.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Which Radio 610.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends in Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
They got me. They got me.
They got you, Clint?
Yeah, and I forced it on you, too.
Who?
I tell you, if you were here, I'd have forced one on you as well, man. They got these screens at all the Buffalo Wild Wings. And it's the, you know, obviously there's sports everywhere, but every now and then there's a screen in there that has the drink specials and the, you know, they got the little ad that runs when the Texans get a turnover, you get six free wings or six free tenders.
They call that product placement.
Yeah.
In the marketing business, I think.
Well, that sounds good. I'll buy it. But the ads that are going on this one TV right in front of me and the Rocks Tequila, that Terramana. There it is right there. Try our featured shooter, Terramana Touchdown. The football to it, and it's just got a nice little pink color to it, plus tequila. And it's got that, what am I looking for? The tahini. Got the tahini
on the rim.
And Tyler, I've been staring at it for about 4 weeks now, man. I've been staring at it about 4 weeks now, and I said, you know what? To hell with me. Y'all bring me one of them touchdowns, and I had to
just live a little, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Hell, this tea over here. I'm over here working with wasn't quite doing the trick, so I forced it on B. Scott.
Yeah, man. Well, you know I wasn't gonna let him take a shot alone. I'm not gonna let my man drink alone. What kind of party foul would that be? What kind of partner would I be if I let my man drink alone over here?
I knew it. I didn't give him a shot to be that man. I just went ahead and ordered. You know what? In fact, bring me two.
And he knew better. He knew I wasn't gonna be like, no, Clint, I don't want that shot of tequila. What are you doing?
It was tasty.
Man. We living our best lives over here out here in New Caney, man. And shout out to y'all here in New Caney who joined us here at the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, come on out, man. They got the beers cold. They're flowing all over the place as well. But the specials are nice. Now come on through and enjoy one. We're gonna give away that Texas Star Grill Shop. We're gonna give away that gift card here before too long. But there's a game tonight, a little Thursday night football. You get the who is it again? Steelers, Bengals.
Steelers, man, AFC North showdown.
Bengals, I see high bowl.
Yeah, man. And them 40-plus-year-old quarterbacks going against each other. And boy, them two boys threw a lot of touchdowns and for a lot of yards in their career, ain't they?
Hey, man, we're going to need more than a two-minute warning. They're going to need a four-minute warning, too. Two-minute warning is for the normal-age quarterback. You got 40-plus out there. We're going to need a six-minute, four-minute. Let them take a break, man. Let them sit down somewhere.
Let's see if we can't extend the halftime.
Extend the halftime performance.
But also, on top of that Thursday night football game, there's a college game tonight as well. But there is the Rockets' final preseason game.
That's right.
Is tonight as well. And I know, B. Scott, that you feel like that the Rockets' season this year is heavily dependent on a couple of guys that were number three overall picks developing and producing for this team.
Yeah, because in some ways you could look at them as luxury items, but on the other side, I feel like you could say that, hey, if this thing really starts to click this year, that gives them a whole nother dimension in terms of what we're talking about with this team. Think about it. Jabari Smith Jr. and Reed Shepherd, both in different years, mind you, 2 years apart, but both number three overall picks by the Rockets, okay? So when they're doing the tankathon or when they're bad, well, in the case of Reed Shepherd, they weren't as bad. It just, that they just happen to have that many picks. But they've accumulated all these picks, long story short. And Jabari Smith Jr. and Reed Shepherd are two of them, specifically both number three overall picks. But what's the expectation for them so far, Clint? Everybody's expecting these guys to be role players in the starting five, but borderline starters could come off the bench, could start for you. But really just expecting them to either stand out in the corner and shoot, maybe handle the ball a little bit in Reed Shepherd's case, to take some relief off with Fred VanVleet away from the game, but certainly going to require more from him. But both of them considered to be role players and more so like spot-up shooters on this team. But what if, and this is the ultimate what-if scenario here, but what if either one of those guys plays up to the number three overall potential? Now, mind you, I just said that is a luxury. They don't need those guys to play. A number three overall potential to me is like playing like a franchise player, the guy who's the engine, the guy who everything centers around, right? Neither one of these two guys is going to be that on a team with Kevin Durant, Alperen Şengün, and what we're seeing from Amen Thompson now. But if they can be any sort of facsimile to that, anything close to that, the closer they get to that, to me it changes the dynamic of the team. It expands sort of what their limitations can actually be. That's just if one of them plays to that degree. God forbid both of them do. You get a certain level of growth or the next step, if you will, between Jabari Smith Jr., who we've seen some signs of that being the case, and then Reed Shepherd is a little bit more of an unanswered question, a little bit more of a wild card. But if we start to see that develop and we start to see either one of the two or both of those guys play more like along the lines of what you would expect from a number three overall pick, then the Rockets are cooking with grease. They got two for sure all-star type of players in Kevin Durant and Alperen Şengün. Then I would throw Amen Thompson in that mix, and then you see what you can get from Reed Shepherd and Jabari Smith Jr. If it's close to number three overall pick stuff, we're talking about a serious contender. To me, one of them plays to their potential, you're a contender. Both of them play to their potential, now you're talking about actually being able to win the championship. Not just make some noise in the West, be a two seed, host a playoff series, and have home court advantage and being in the mix. I'm talking about being a favorite. I'm talking about being an actual factor and being a team that you can really take seriously the way we would like to.
You know, this may sound crazy, but I think this is just my casual fan perspective. Like, I'm entertained more, and I like watching Jabari Smith more than I do Amen Thompson.
Oh, I think he has a more aesthetically pleasing game. I mean, a tall jump shooter, you know, who doesn't necessarily need the ball. Like, Amen Thompson, in a lot of cases, needs the basketball, especially when we're talking about the fast break. We know he's going to be handling the ball quite a bit more with Fred VanVleet out. Now, he does some really good things cutting, running that dunker spot, running from the, you know, along the baseline, or if it's, you know, hitting that, going from that elbow to that low block, if Alperen Şengün's got the ball kind of away from the basket sort of thing. Like, he's good without the basketball, but he's best, I think, with the basketball. Whereas with Jabari Smith Jr., man, it's just a silky smooth kind of game. You don't have to – you can run plays for him, but it's not like you just give him the ball and tell him to go. It's more of, hey, find your spots on the floor, you know, show us that beautiful stroke, and kind of go from there. He has a much more aesthetically pleasing game, even if he's not the caliber player, I think, that Amen Thompson is.
Well, I can obviously watch and see how Amen Thompson is an MF-er. You know what I mean? You could tell, like, opposing teams.
Even if he's
not putting up 20, it's still a long night every time you got to guard his ass and get physical with him. I can see where, like, I think Amen Thompson is more the identity of what Ime Udoka wants this team to be, just by how he plays, how hard he plays, how physical he is, how he doesn't care about what's going on around him.
Yeah.
It's always go, go, go. I mean, he's one of them old boys that you know, I'd rather have five guys that I got to pull the reins back and slow them down instead of whip them and make them go fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that you got to pull the reins back and slow them down. So I understand why he is such a focal point. I just, when I watch, and I said this yesterday with Luke, when I watch Jabari Smith, for me, it's like, I feel like there's so much more there.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know exactly – I'll be honest with you, as we're having the conversation, I don't know where it comes from, because, like your point, I don't look at him and go, boy, he's hell getting to the rack. But it's just – it seems like there's that the range, and then the ability to pull up in the mid-range, and then with that length is just – seems like, boy, if he can just get to where he's starting, which obviously we'll start in every game, and getting big minutes, man. He's the one that turns me on.
Well, the thing I want to see from the Rockets is how will they do with moving without the basketball as opposed to the way that they did it last year. That wasn't really a hallmark of their game. That is something that I feel like they can afford to do a lot more, especially with the luxury of having Kevin Durant on the team. But then also finding ways to get Jabari Smith Jr. more involved in the game. You would like to see more of that, and I'm interested to see if they can do it.
Rockets, Hawks tonight at 6:30, the final preseason game. A little dress rehearsal. Expect the starters to play into the second half. So take a peek at that as you catch Thursday night football as well. CJ Stroud, your quarterback, meeting with the press. We'll have it in full next right here on Sports Radio.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign. No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
6 p.m.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends in Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. T-Mills on the ones and twos behind the glass. We are up in New Caney at the Buffalo Wild Wings at 59 and 99. Y'all come on up and hang out. This place is absolutely, this whole area right here is a cool area, man. It's I actually went past it, went down this way into where there's more stores and everything, man. This place is blown up. A lot of good going on, a lot of traffic around here. Come through Buffalo Wild Wings, hang out, grab you a drink, grab you a bite to eat. We're going to give away that Texas Star Grill Shop. We're going to give that away here in the next few minutes. But until then, let's catch up with Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud.
Hey, CJ,
coming off of the success against the Ravens game, how do you feel like you as an offense, what do you think is working, and what do you think you guys can do to carry that over?
I think, you know, we're starting to find our identity, you know, and being versatile. A lot of guys test the ball against Baltimore. I think that's a good thing. So some things we can keep up and keep up our tempo and getting in and out the huddle, just operational things is good. So keeping all that stuff up.
Were you able to do anything on a short bye week or an early bye week versus the first 2 years in the league you had a late bye week? Were you able to kind of reflect a little bit more, look back more, change more, or is it just kind of same old for you?
Yeah, same old. You do a little self-scout, and then you come back and you see who you're playing, and you work from there. So it's kind of similar. I think we had a week six bye my rookie year, so kind of used to it more than what we had last year.
CJ, I wondered about your relationship with JSN. And when you knew in college that he was going to be a special player?
Yeah, the first day I met him, I think we were at the opening, and he was killing. He was on a different team. He was doing really well. And we go to Ohio State. I think we were in the same dorm. No, he was with G. But, yeah, we were first day of practice. He, like, one-handed, like, a pass. And, like, I was like, yeah, this dude's for real. So ever since then, I'm like, man, he's one of the best I've ever played with, if not the best. So. Man, I'm just super proud of him. I've always known that this is going to happen, so it's no surprise to me, but just very proud of him. And, you know, I think he's going to continue to do great things.
And if you don't mind, would you be able to share any of your recollections of that epic Rose Bowl where you two just went crazy?
That was like honestly, for us, we didn't even really know it was like that crazy, but it was like a day of practice for us. Yeah, so like me and him have a connection that, you know, I think is just kind of natural. And we just took off that day, but it was other days we did really good too. So, but that day was special, you know, playing back home and him having probably the most legendary receiver performance in college was pretty dope. But honestly, it seemed like we were just at practice. Yeah.
CJ, when you look at this Seattle defense, talk about what you see and what you really have to be prepared for.
Yeah, their D-line is really good. You know, they play together, they play stout, you know, got a lot of playmakers up front. You know, Ernest is a great backer. You know, he gets those guys lined up and in the right calls. And Spoon is a heck of a player along, you know, with their back end. So, I mean, all around from top to bottom, they're a really good team. And they play together. Mike is a great coach, head coach, of course, but a great play caller as well, great defensive coordinator. Played against him a couple times, and, you know, he's does some challenging things. So you just got to be prepared and prepare us the right way.
On the flip side, you all's defense has been among the best in the league. You go against them every day, went against them a lot in training camp. How would you describe what it's like to go against this particular defense?
Yeah, it could be suffocating where, you know, like they're pushing the pocket, playing sticky coverage, the run game, they're being stout, setting edges and running to the ball, talking crazy and slapping their helmets, do all type of crazy stuff. So that stuff could be demoralizing. So I've been on the other side of that, but I think it prepares you, you know, to even because that stuff is bound to happen. Like the other team gets paid too, but it keeps you, at least for me, to keep myself motivated for the next play, because it takes time. You know, these defenses are really good, but it takes time to unlock a defense. Sometimes the first play, sometimes it's the last. But I think playing against our defense has taught me, you know, to stay down for the come up. Play my game, take what's there, and, you know, and try to just move forward and don't fall for the hype. But they do a great job of, you know, running around, playing together, and just playing free.
One of the things that we talked about a lot in training camp was the amount of control and command that you would be able to have over this offense. As time has gone on, and especially over these last two games, are you starting to get more of what Nick wants you to do, but also implementing more of C.J. Stroud into this offense?
Yeah, I think every week I get better. I think as offense, we understand what fits for us and what doesn't work that we've tried, you know. So it's all about just adjusting week to week, upgrading our iPhone, upgrading our ideas. So, you know, I'm all for that. And I think it's just been good because, you know, we're able to get some games under our belt where we play good, and I just want to keep that going. So, yeah, it's every week getting better.
The players on the offensive side of the ball said that what Nick Caley does is he utilizes who's on the field. So he has different types of packages for the players who are on the field to utilize their skills. But that's something that you all emphasized coming into the Baltimore game as far as Xavier Hutchinson was concerned.
Everybody that we have is very talented, you know, and does different special things. Like Hutch is different than, you know, the other guys in his room. Harrison is different than other tight ends, where Titus is different than other linemen. So you do things to, you know, to make them look good as well, you know, to work to their strengths and benefits. And I think, you know, that's just NFL offense, it's just offense in football. So Hutch was a guy, you know, who ate, but I think, you know, thought Jay Noe played great. He, Nico, C. Kirk stepped up really big for us. I think it's cool because you see a lot of guys eat.
Been doing some self-scout through the bye week. Just kind of what were some of your takeaways from the first five games of the season so far?
I think I'll just keep that kind of to myself on what we think. But there were some things where I think we can build upon, and there are some things that I think we shouldn't do anymore. We should just move on, try some other things. But I thought, you know, what we did coming to practice last Wednesday was really helpful to, you know, work on some of the things that we need to work on. From just a big picture standpoint as an offense, instead of just against Seattle or against San Fran or whoever we're going to play, it was good for us as a whole to just fit what we need. So I thought that was good for us.
Along those lines, like you mentioned, the big picture as a team, just not the offense, how pivotal is this game? You could even your record. There's a lot on the line. Also, it's considered a very high-quality opponent.
Yeah, every game is important. I think every game we take very seriously, and we know what's at stake. But it's all about, you can't overthink it. You got to one play at a time, one game at a time, one opportunity at a time. So I think with that mindset, it makes it a lot easier to execute and do well instead of putting a bunch of pressure on yourself. So I think that's what we're doing this week, and I'm excited to go up there and play.
Is there anything different or extra that you do to prepare for a 9 p.m. kick?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, just go and play.
How much do you think there was like a psychological, I guess, edge or help in Astrid when Domingo was just saying, hey, I want you guys to start practicing celebrations, just to kind of help you guys visualize getting in the end zone and having some celebrations going? How much do you think that might have helped the offense psychologically, with that just overall, edge in Astrid?
I think you gotta ask him. I think it's cool, you know, to have. I think we probably need a couple more in our back pocket. But, I would say, you know, like, execution brings energy and brings, like, all that fun, cool stuff. No one celebrates if you're not doing good. So it takes for you to execute first. But it makes everybody, you know, smile and have fun and look fun. So I think – but it is fun, too. So probably got to add some more things. But I think maybe some method to his madness. Well, he knows. I'm not sure.
AFC player of the week after your week 5 performance against the Baltimore Ravens. How much of that can you attribute to just those guys up front who mm-hmm. don't get a lot of the credit when they're doing good, but definitely get criticized when people think they're doing bad?
Yeah, I try to tell them because the same thing happens to me. You can't focus on that. But without them, it's no me. Without them, it's no Nico. It's no Woody. It's no Chubb. It's none of us. You know, they're the heart, beating soul of our team. And I'm just proud of them for keep fighting, you know, week to week. Because they've done a lot of great things, you know. And as a team, we got to help them out, like I told y'all before. And I think we've been doing that by being more versatile in different ways, you know, helping our guys out. So, they're doing great. I told you Titus is playing, I think, like at all-pro level. I think Jake is being a really good leader up there. Ed looks great. Juice. Tay's really filled into his role. So, you know, with those guys, I think, you know, the sky's the limit when they're on and, you know, we're rolling.
You mentioned Woody there. How have you seen him grow as a rookie? And then also, like, what's the best aspect of his game you think he can bring to you guys?
I think, you know, Woody's somebody who's played a lot of ball in college, played a lot of meaningful ball. Thought he, you know, he brought a new, like, type of tempo to our team. I think he puts his foot in the ground and cuts and changes directions really good. He catches the ball at the backfield really good, and I think he sets a block really good. So he's very versatile and does a lot of special things.
We've talked a lot about Xavier Hutchinson's growth, but what has he meant to you, like, as a teammate, as a friend?
Yeah, he's a brother of mine, man. I love Hutch with all my heart, man. Like, we came in together, been through a lot of highs, lows together, and he always put a lot of confidence into me. And, you know, he's hilarious. He's one of the funniest people I know. But he's a very motivated and serious player. He loves the game of football, and he's super talented. I'm just happy that he's getting the, you know, the recognition he deserves. And I think the sky's the limit for him. Like, he's a really good receiver in his league, and I think continue to prove that.
Is there any extra juice with these night games? I know you say the 9 p.m. doesn't matter, but just playing, knowing you're one of the only teams playing that night, is it extra special?
Yeah, I think, you know, whenever you're playing in a primetime game, it's super fun, and I just try to focus on what's on the field. And I think, you know, playing in Seattle will be fun, but every night game that I've ever had has been, you know, pretty fun, and the energy is a little bit more, and the focus is a little bit more. Everything is, like, is dialed up, so it's fun. But yeah, it's gonna be a great environment. I'm excited.
CJ, how do you balance being patient as you guys are growing in this new system, but also still being, you know, you're keeping your intensity up? How do you balance not getting impatient with the process?
I would say just transparency, communication with a lot of people, communication with myself. Because, like I told you, you can be the hero of the zero, and you can be doing the same things you did in previous weeks. It just, it finally worked. But it takes time, like new offenses, new schemes, new coaching with new quarterbacks, and all these different new things that we've had this year. It just takes a little time to roll, but I think you got to keep the confidence. There's no good player in this league that is not confident in what they can do, or good coach that's not confident in what they do. So, and I think in focusing on the important things, which, you know, is God, family, football, and I know it's cliche, but it's the truth. Like, if you're good with the Lord, you're good with your family, you're good with your teammates, then I think the play is what picks up as well. So,
thank you.
DJ, the king of cliche,
hey,
isn't he?
Man, God, family, and football. One step at a time.
You know, it's all about communicating. Got to communicate myself.
Got to communicate with myself. What? I hope he meant the others communicating with him. Like communication starting with myself.
Yeah, communicating myself.
Yeah. I hope that's what he meant. Not I got to look at myself in the mirror and say self.
Hey, when he gets rolling now, he gets rolling. Now, there's a couple of things there that we will respond to later in the 5 o'clock hour. Right now, though, we got a little Thursday night football. We got Astros injuries are still piling up. Imagine that. I'll circle back and tell you about that. That is coming up next in 5 o'clock fire.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.